your bottle filled with sunshine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put on my sunglasses before I open it. Marilyn, did you have a chance to listen to the Saturday workshop replay?
No, I haven't yet, no. Uh-uh. Why? Did I miss?
Well, you know, it was Carla again, and that was interesting. And they're talking about trying to get Carla on at least once a month with a special workshop, as well as having her regularly.
Uh-huh.
So that would be nice if it worked out.
Is she going to be on tonight?
Couldn't hear.
Is she going to be on tonight?
I don't know. I haven't checked the computer. Does anybody know?
No. Don't know.
I don't think he's sent out a thing yet.
Oh, here it is. Earth Risms. Know nothing about it.
Why is Yoda wearing sunglasses?
Because he's been listening to Lucy.
Ah.
He's singing You Light Up My Life. Tonight, the architecture of the universe is the topic.
Maybe this
is what I'm
hitting
you. Anyway, a vendor's bird's eye view. A poem by Wynne Free from
1999. Oh, it's a repeat. It was very nice. We learned a lot.
We've had someone else join us. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to give your name and location, please?
No.
Okay. We'll just refer to you as Mysterious Mr. X. Did you have a chance to read the poem yet?
I wrote the poem.
I was going to say Marilyn.
I was
going
to say, are you going to admit that it's you, Wynn?
No.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Hello, Marilyn. I'm so glad to hear you. I was thinking of you all day, but I couldn't fit in a phone call.
How come?
I'm trying to get Marilyn to volunteer because she has such a good personality and she's so good with people, but she hates commitment.
Yes,
and
she does. So don't call Marilyn. No.
We've had several other people join us. If you have a chance, would you like to give your name and locations, please?
This is Joyce in Asheville, North Carolina.
Welcome. Glad you can make it tonight.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Good evening. Feel free.
Good evening, everybody. This is Tobias in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Tobias, welcome.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here.
Yes, yeah, nice to have people from up in the north.
Very chilly up here.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome.
Oh,
glad to have you for
even
tonight.
Even nicer to have you guys in the warm area. We
We anyone else who signed in and not identified themselves, feel free to give your name and locations, please.
This is Eric in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Eric. Glad to have you again tonight.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else, when you have a chance, feel free to identify yourself, please.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what can I say? It's a good day. You?
Good to hear you.
Yeah.
You're filling in for Hyde tonight?
Yes, he's off with his son, an indoor soccer match, playing Mr. Dad.
Whew, yeah, it's got to be indoors tonight. It's effing cold, I tell you.
Now, Phoenix. Warm where you guys are.
Oh no, it's gonna be in the 20s tonight.
It is?
Yeah.
California?
No, Arizona. California's really cold too. They're hitting a cold snap. Now back east where my mother is, it's like in the 50s, she said.
Yeah, we've got it warmer out here.
Yeah.
The polarities must have switched on us.
Just the Arctic air is coming its way.
Yeah.
We've had other people join us. If you have a chance, feel free to give your name and location, please.
Joel,
how are you doing? How are things in Chicago?
I'm doing well.
Still the Windy City tonight? I see. Any other person who's joined in, if you have a chance, feel free to give your name and location, please.
Hello. That's a mixture of Nancy's music, huh?
Well, I can't hear you, Marilyn. I'm getting interference.
Okay. Do you want me to welcome people now?
Yeah, you better.
Okay.
Go, team, go.
Do you have the monitor? Are you with the monitor?
Well, I'm in on the host access code. Did you do that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'll be sure to make sure Wynn starts his recording then.
Okay.
Hey, you know, when I tried to go to the replays, I'd only go back to Monday the 7th. It doesn't go any further.
If you look at the top, there'll be dates across the top for different years. You have to click on a different year.
Oh, I was thinking.
Good evening, Marilyn.
Good evening. Welcome to Monday's. Why is Yoda wearing sunglasses? If you have a chance, say your name and name and location.
Hello, this is caller number 18, Francis from Concord, California.
Oh, good.
Hi, Francis. How are you doing today?
Welcome.
Good. Who's that?
This is Dave in Indiana.
Ron. And
hi, welcome. Glad to have you.
The one making a fool of herself is Marilyn.
The hostess with the mostest.
Yeah, thinking a fool of herself.
Now she's getting into it.
Yes.
Pretty soon we'll have the lampshade on her head.
her true self is expressing.
That's exactly right.
Did you know, in the tarot, oftentimes the fool is considered one of the highest cards. Did you know that?
Well, I've heard that before.
you know why that is?
Why?
Because the fool can get in between the cracks.
Ah.
They're not
that
threatening.
Must be me.
They're not threatening.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm not threatening. Just fooling.
There we go. Somebody just hung up.
I heard that.
we blew it.
Yeah.
Hi, who's that?
Michael from Waverly.
Hi, Mike. Oh, Michael.
Yeah.
From Waverly.
How's Daphne and Terry and Carla?
You want to know something? I have learned not to report on other people.
And don't ask him how he is either, because he won't report that either.
Well, hopefully they'll show up.
He's a mystery.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, he's a mystery man.
I had a question on my mind. That is, well, if Mount Shasta has a lot of energy and it has a lot of transport, is that better to live by that or by a place that has little energy?
Well, probably part of it is if you can hold yourself together in a place of lower energy, then you'll be helping to ground that place and lift the vibration there. But if you can't hold yourself together, you should go to a place of higher energy. It would help you be together.
Papa Fada.
Now, is Terry here?
I heard you could drink
I'm
water.
Here.
Drink water from the Mount Shasta area could be good for you.
I've heard that.
Now,
I don't know where you get it, though. I couldn't find any.
You know, it does get complicated, though, because some people... Hi there.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hi, it's Roger from Toronto.
Hello, Roger. Welcome.
That's Roger Mack. Yes.
Yes.
Roger, you're next.
Flexel, by the way.
Okay.
This is Steve from Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
And Lisa from San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Who's that?
Angela.
That's Marilyn.
I'm going to have to pick up on that one.
We're helping out Heist. He's kind of busy with his son tonight. So Dave and I have been helping out Heist. And Dave does better than me, but towards the end he can't hear anymore.
Well, sounds good.
Thank you.
You know, that was a really interesting question about Mount Shasta and energy because, just really quickly, when I was a kid, my family used to go down to California every Easter for holidays from Vancouver. And every time as a kid that we got near to Mount Shasta, I started getting really strong headaches. And I always wanted my dad to stop at the mountain itself. But he always said, nope, we got to get going, we got to get going. And finally, when I was in my 30s, I was down there myself, and I stopped at Mount Shasta, never had a headache, picked up some of the most amazing stones at the base of Mount Shasta I've ever seen.
Really?
And I have about 10 of them in, and I just love these stones, the energy of them. It's fascinating. So,
wow.
There's definitely something about Mount Shasta.
You know, in that famous story where Daphne and I were driving up from L.A. to Portland, and I said, does anybody want to talk to me? It happened right at Mount Shasta.
Really?
Wow.
I said, this must be what they're talking about at Mount Shasta. Somebody come and intrude it.
Yeah, it really is. There's something really special there.
Well, when
yes.
I remember when I was in the military and I was about to go to bed after a long day, and it was like just before reveille, and my head didn't even hit the pillow, and I experienced a spectrum of light at the edge of the universes, and the area where you go beyond that to where there's only darkness, love, and just once in a while a little spark of light. And I remember asking, because I didn't want to come back, and I asked about staying there, and I was told you volunteered, and when you have achieved what you volunteered, you can come back. I said, promise? And the voice said yes. So I said, okay, and I was right back. I didn't have to sleep again for 5 days.
Wow.
Well.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing.
Now, you're welcome. Is Daphne on the line? Uh-oh. Tell you what, I think we should start. You guys aren't ready, are you?
No.
Me neither, so we'll start. Good sign. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 14th, 2012. Let me mute everybody. Wynn in Sedona, Terry in Sedona, and Daphne is not there, is she? Hello, Daphne. I guess not. Yeah, she said she was going to be here, and... Okay.
Can't hear you, Wynn.
I think I just lost my audio, right?
Well, you're back. I can hear you now.
Can't. Now I see why I'm losing audio. Because I'm on the regular phone. Never mind, it's not just technical. Today, if you notice, our formats are always changing. And one of the things is we have to keep interested. Another thing is, since we put up the Spirit Channel, and we have literally hundreds of our sessions on there,
discussed just to do a chat.
We can't hear you. We just can't hear you.
You can't hear me, Doug?
And we want to. We do. But it's so much of it, can't get you.
You can't hear me at all. Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're loud and clear to me.
Doug, what do you think that is? Are you there, Doug? I should be.
No, we can't hear you, Doug.
No, we can't hear Doug.
It's okay. I'll be quiet. I'll be okay. But it does a little bad for you, man. It's like way back.
All right. I suddenly switched off Skype, and I went on UMA. And for whatever reason, I started out with the idea that we were going to talk about the sacred architecture of the universe. And that's something that Daphne is somewhat versed in. And then I looked up a quote and ended up talking about it all downloads into a poem. And then I said, okay, I'm going to put my poem up. And actually, that is a really historic poem because if you notice, I wrote that in 1999. I think I'll read it for those of you that didn't see it. And it was when I was selling things at street fairs. And I was at a street fair in Southern California, and I felt like my life had come to an end. Like, I didn't want to do this anymore. I got caught in a rut. Any of you ever get caught in a rut? Of course, all the time. And I said, if I have to sell at street fairs for the rest of my life, I would rather die now. I remember thinking that. And I went across the street to the liquor store, and I bought a notepad, and I started writing poems in it. And that was the first poem I wrote. And I said, okay, I'm going to write poems about street fairs. And I'm trying to get back on Skype here. Okay. And it was called A Vendor's Bird's Eye View. And
Wynn, can you speak up? It's really hard to hear you.
Oh, are you here?
I am here. I had a hard time getting on.
Was it busy?
Kept wouldn't let me through. Kept saying circuits are busy. Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what. I am going to try to get on Skype again. Because Skype is better than whatever I'm on now. And before I read this poem, I'll do it. Let me see here. But in any case, because I wrote that poem, and because I wrote some other poems, I started sending poems out on the internet, and I ended up getting offered a job writing articles for this magazine. And I never wrote articles before. I only wrote poems and songs. And in fact, I wasn't sure that I could write an article. But I gave it my best shot. And they loved my articles. And I was writing articles for them every month. And they were paying me. Not much, but at least I felt like I wasn't just selling on the weekends. I was making some kind of contribution. And then about 6 months into that, I ran into David Wilcox's website, and I convinced the editor of the magazine to let me interview David, which he did, but she thought he was a wacko. She said, I'm not going to run this until I read the interview, and hang on here. And so I ended up doing the interview. She loved the interview, and she called me back and said, I think you're supposed to write the book about this. And, of course, it was my stretch to write articles for them. I never believed I'd have the discipline to write a book. But she put a buzz in my ear, and I kept thinking, this is really important. This is going to be really important. This is, and I didn't quite understand or comprehend the depth of everything, but I wrote the book. And, of course, if I didn't write the book, I wouldn't be here now. So it was that one episode of walking across the street, going to the liquor store, and I started off writing that poem, and I said, I'm going to write poems out of this. In other words, I was stuck. I was selling things, and I didn't know how to get back into being creative again. And I wrote a poem, and then I wrote another poem. And I was writing poems all about selling things. Not selling things, but my experience being at a booth. And so I sent that poem out today. And hang on, I'm almost back on Skype, which will make me be louder, I think. I hope so. And then, of course, because I was writing for that magazine about 2 years later, hang on, let me just see, I went on an assignment, and I ran into Daphne on my assignment, and I drove 400 miles, and there she was. So, if you wonder how intention works, and you wonder how synchronicity works, that's a good example, because everything happened inadvertently. It didn't happen like I aimed for it. Like I didn't decide to write a book.
You're fading out.
Wait a second. I'm can you hear me now?
I can barely hear you.
You hear me?
Not very well.
Your Skype is back, Edwin.
Skype is back. Can you hear me on Skype?
No, not yet. This is still your...
I don't think I'm coming over on Skype. Well, I really thank you all for the patience. Hello, one person.
We cannot hear you. We cannot.
No, he said he's thanking us all for our patience.
Can you hear me now? Now I'm good, right?
Yes.
Now I'm back on Skype. Okay. Hopefully, this will be okay.
I'll mute your other line.
Great. Thank you. So it was just like I got to my point of great, great frustration. I mean, I had been doing this for 20 years, and I thought I was a songwriter, and I totally got off track. And so I wrote the poem. And this was the poem I wrote, and it was called A Vendor's Bird's Eye View. This was the first poem of that period. Now, I had written poems before. Daphne, are you on the line?
I am here, Wynn.
do you happen to have that poem of yours? What was it called?
Liquefaction of Love?
Yeah.
I don't have it at hand, no.
All right. Well, see, I was going to have you read it. But nonetheless, here was the poem. And by the way, Daphne, your volume is low. And
I'm right on top of the phone.
That's better, okay?
Okay.
Looking into the eyes of the multitude, the eyes as windows to the soul, young eyes, old eyes, Spanish eyes, black eyes, Arabic eyes, Sephardic eyes, gay eyes, gang eyes, tired eyes, enthusiastic eyes, rock and roll eyes, jazz eyes, in love eyes, lonely eyes, angry eyes, happy eyes, bedroom eyes, kitchen eyes, hurt eyes, silly eyes, dense eyes, wise eyes, friendly eyes, impoverished eyes. The eyes have it, always telling a story about the being looking through them. 100,000 eyes, 100,000 stories, all connected to one energy. Step down into the physical world via the karmic path of the being. The eyes of the multitude, the eyes of God, looking back at me. P.S. Want to buy a pair of sunglasses? Well, that was my poem. Without writing that poem, I don't know if I'd be here now doing this. And the universe works in very strange ways. And intuitively, I was understanding when I wrote that poem, this was before I was talking to the Elohim, it was before I met David Wilcock, but somehow I had an intuitive understanding of the Law of One, and that each person was connected to Source. And when I would be at a booth selling things, I could feel the connection. I could look at people, and I'd feel this great sense of love for the multitude. And I think I learned a lot about loving all kinds of people, standing at a booth, having no superiority attitudes. And soon I'm going to put a little book out of the poems I wrote in that period, because I started out as a creator, a creative person, and looked at my creations as a way of sharing things. And then all of this stuff happened, and I was stymied. How do you put this into the world? How do you do it? And really, I've learned how to do this because of you guys, because you who are paying attention, because you who are being touched and reached, and the emails I receive. And I know it reaches Terry and Daphne as well, because, wow, you know, I could never believe I could do anything like this, and yet here we are doing it. And the truth of the matter is, I don't really feel like I can take any credit except for recognizing that it was important and persevering. And I did persevere. I once I got that it was important and real, I didn't let it go. And now we have the Spirit Channel there. And if you haven't checked that out, I highly recommend it. Because sometimes people say, Lynn, why don't you just start out with the channeling? Why don't you just start talking to them? And the fact of the matter is, as I was saying, I think before our mic was on, uh-oh, I hope I started recording here. Did I start to record? God. Hang on. Yep, I started to record. Yeah,
we did. Okay, thanks, guys. In the Spirit Channel, we have hundreds of audios and transcripts. Believe it or not, we have a team of probably 6 or 7 people working on that project, volunteering to put that up. And in a certain sense, we have the history of this work. We have all kinds of topics we've discussed with our sources, all kinds of questions and answers, and put up to the public so that anyone can browse through it. And to my surprise, to my complete surprise, thousands of people are going there and reading everything. And it's like we've put up a free university of the higher realms with all this inspiration, information that you can browse through. And the people that are doing that, the people that are paying attention, I can see that many people are going through permanent changes, things they'll never have to go back to their old ways of being. And I'm not doing it. They're doing it, but they're applying themselves. And I'm saying this because if you're one of those people that feels stuck, you might try applying yourself. You might go to the Spirit Channel. You might look up all the questions and see the ones that relate to you. And you may find something happens. Some of you have noticed that by just checking into these conference calls 3 times a week, we're very corny. It's not because we're brilliant. It's not because we're teaching anything. We are teaching stuff, but the main benefit of these calls, as I see it, is you start changing your timelines. Time starts moving differently because you're paying attention to something that moves at a different timeline than normal reality. And as you keep paying attention to it, you're reprogramming yourself to ride that higher timeline, and things can start happening automatically. And you might as well try it. If you're not having that experience, try it at least for a month of coming into the calls every week and notice if you have a shift. What does a shift feel like? You know, many of you are faced with your obstacles, your pain, your challenges, and you're focused on them. Well, if you want to change them, you have to stop focusing on them. It's like if you go to a good movie, it can make you laugh, and you stop focusing on it. Well, when you go to a good movie, and the movie goes through really quickly, it's really entertaining, that's like moving into another timeline. And the problem is you go back from the movie, and you go back to your old timeline, and the movie's over. Well, when we have 3 calls a week and we're bringing in these sources, and when you can listen to this stuff, you are reprogramming your timelines so that you start operating in a higher timeline. And then you have this opportunity for synchronicities to occur, for little deviations in reality that wouldn't normally happen. And it's not linear, so I can't explain it to you in a language where you can say, I'm going to do that. I want that to happen. All I can say is, by the repetition of being in a situation where the timelines are moving so fast, then that can occur. And, you know, the topic tonight was the architecture of the universe. Well, when we normally think of the universe, we think of the physical universe. we are in the physical universe on planet Earth. But we are also in the multidimensional universe, which means that there are layers upon layers upon layers on what we call the physical universe of different parallel universes moving at different speeds. We're talking about timelines. So now we have different things moving at different speeds that exist right next to you right now, but you can't see them. Because you don't have the equipment. Your eyes are not designed to see them. You might feel it. You might feel it as vibes. You might feel it as intuitive flashes coming in. Where did that come from? And as you start accessing these other timelines, you start grasping in intuition intuitively about how it works. There was a quote I sent out today, and I don't even know who this guy is. Daisaku Ikeda. It sounds Japanese, but I found it on the internet, and it felt appropriate. Living here on Earth, we breathe the rhythms of a universe that extends infinitely above us. When resonant harmonies arise between this vast outer cosmos and the inner human cosmos, poetry is born. And then I said, geez, if I'm putting that in, I'll put my poem in. And actually, that was what my poem was about. It was about looking at people who are ordinary people, not that anyone is ordinary, but on the surface ordinary, coming to shop at a street fair, looking at them, and seeing them as expressions of divinity, seeing through their eyes that they went on forever, and each of you goes on forever. In spite of the illusion that we have in this realm, that this is all there is. And when we talk about how all these timelines are coordinated, and this is something I'm really not well-versed in, I have an intuition about it, and I'll go as far as I can. And then I was going to turn it over to Daphne, because I think she has a greater comprehension of this than I do, and probably Terry, the architecture of the universe. And by the way, when I say that, I am not saying the great architect of the universe. Erase that. That's negative, okay? But that there's an interface between timelines. And those of you that heard my talk with Carla Ruckert on Saturday, and if you didn't hear it, I highly recommend you listen, because it's a whole different energy with Carla and what we do there than what we do here and on Wednesday and even on Sunday. And it's the raw energy, very, very strongly. And she wasn't channeling. Well, we were discussing the raw material, and her raw material is legendary, but a lot of people don't understand it. It's so deep. So we would take a little paragraph of something, and I would say what I thought it meant, and she would say what she thought it meant, but it was just a good energy, and we made it simple. And part of making that stuff simple starts to give you cognitions. Cognitions are cellular memories, because most of you that are listening to these calls regularly are wanderers. You've come in from other dimensions. And these sources, I would speculate, are your soul families, and that you are having the opportunity to make energetic connection back with your soul family, those sources you came from before you volunteered to come into this Meshuggah realm. That we keep struggling to find, what am I doing here?
What am I supposed to be doing? Why do I feel alienated? And you're going to feel alienated until you start picking up these higher timelines, which resonated more with your home vibration, where you came from. And that could have been part of the Elohim group, part of the Ra group, one of the Pleiadians. There's all kinds of beings down here that have taken on bodies that that come from elsewhere. It was very interesting. While I was studying the Ra material to do that workshop with Carla on Saturday, something came up that I discovered for the first time that I thought was totally fascinating. And that was that Abraham Lincoln was, now this is according to the Ra material, so this may not be true, but I'll just tell you what they said. Abraham Lincoln was a walk-in. And what that meant was the being that was born, Abraham Lincoln, decided to let a higher level being take over his body, and he backed out. And this is a fairly, this is not a wanderer. This is something else. And that is a fairly rare occurrence. And so when we look at the Gettysburg Address and how well that is crafted and how touching that is, that was written, according to the Ra, through Carla, by a being from another dimension who came in to help free the slaves. So we have all of these timelines or dimensions or densities, as you want to call it, that are, one of the ways the Ra group described it is imagine pure white light going through a prism. And then it comes out all these colors. And then it goes through another prism and another prism. And so there's this geometrical organization of the universe that is a building block for everything. Now, there are people that are experts at this geometrical organization. And I don't think I need to be an expert. What I think is I learned enough that I could bring energy, we can bring energy, which we do on Sundays, through all these prisms just by our intention. So we are moving through the dimensions, or overriding all these dimensions, to go from the place where there's almost no time to here, where time, as you know, has its fixed way of being. And, you know, it's going through the planets. I used to be an astrologer, so I have some intuitions about that. It's passing through the planets. It's passing through the galaxies. And, of course, what this shift is about is an alignment of the galaxies, where everything's in line to bring the maximum amount of energy, the most energy that has ever been brought down into this realm in the history of mankind. Now, historically, it's well known that geometric figures focus energy in certain ways, which is one of the reasons that there are pyramids, because the pyramids were focusing chambers for energy. And years ago, I used to read about pyramids. I had a pyramid over my bed that I slept under, and there were all these articles saying how razor blades didn't get dull, fruit and vegetables stayed fresher if you put them in a pyramid. And right now, with this shift in this new energy, our whole planet is like a pyramid. And Daphne, is there any way you can plug into what I'm saying and talk about the, I'm going to say this wrong, tetracocahedrons and stuff like that. There's,
tetrahedron?
Yeah. Do you understand anything at all about how the energy
differentiates geometrically from the center of the universe to here?
Well, from my conscious understanding and the reading and studying I've done over the years.
Speak louder.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
We'll go ahead.
What I was saying was that from my conscious understanding and from the reading and the studying that I've done over a number of years, it seems that between here and all that is, or organic source field, or God consciousness, exists at least 12 dimensional fields or layers. And that over the course of the last several thousand years, these 12 fields or layers were imprisoned, or they were blocked, and they were slipped into an inorganic frequency or an inorganic matrix that reduced the 12 to 10. And the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah, as we know it, organically was a 12-systemed object or a 12-systemed idea. And it was collapsed into a 10. And thus, it compromised the organic geometries, the organic sacred geometries, and allowed for fallen or controller mechanisms to enslave the population to a great extent. And what's been happening now, and the time that we're in now, is that there has been an organic realignment and an organic awakening, primarily of the wanderers, of the starseeds, who have been born with an encodement of their DNA, which is sufficiently awakened and carries a sufficient amount of light that the organic original blueprint that they carry since birth is aligning with Gaia, the Earth, as we are walking upon her. And Gaia herself is realigning and re-anchoring her organic consciousness. So we are actually, again, from my understanding of this, we are walking light, like a lightsaber, basically, like in Star Wars. We are columns of light, and each of us has very particular codings that resonate both with specific physical locations and with specific physical persons, as well as, you know, interdimensional connections. And that the more awake, the more conscious, the more activated you are, and I have worked with people who are gifted and that they can see interdimensionally. There are parts of the Oversoul that are considered to be Hava bodies, and as these become online, as these become enlightened, you actually start connecting vibrationally to the Antakarana, or the Oversoul field of the planet Earth, the planetary monad, the planetary logos, and the raw material talks about this. So that when you go about your day, when you go to the gas station, when you go to the CVS, when you go to the grocery store, the Whole Foods, you are actually weaving a web of light, you know, very similar to the filament that a spider would spin in her web. You are leaving light trails wherever you go. And then when you have these, quote, synchronistic kinds of encounters with people, it usually is when there are kind of interdimensional nexus points or nodal points that are aligning in your field and in the field of Mother Earth, thus creating a synchronicity, synchronicity meaning the lining up of time, the lining up of divine time and physical time. And then you get you know, the seemingly miraculous things or the extraordinary things happening. That's the beginnings of some of the things that I understand.
So, you know, let me take how I understand what you said, because I like to try to make it really simple, at least so I can understand it. And really, that as the universe was created, there was the Elohim at the top of it. And we have like at least three or four awesome sessions on the Spirit Channel with how the Elohim created the universe. And then they gave free will out, so it became a group creation, not even the high Elohim. And as the universe was evolving, there were beings of mixed polarity. And by the way, the Ra group and the Elohim group explain the same thing about this. They say that each localized area of the universe would create the rules of conduct and evolution in that localized area. So what that means is that there's a consciousness of the solar system which would create a set of rules in the solar system, our solar system, about how the planets would evolve. And then the sun has a set of rules, and it would create it so all the planets had to go by the rules of the sun. And then the Earth has a set of rules, and we are growing by the rules set by the Earth. And then each of us creates our own rules. We have a home, we bring up our children, we decide with our own free will how we're going to conduct ourselves in our local place. And so some of the bigger beings in the universe attempted to co-opt the entire universe or large portions of it. So where there would be sacred geometry stepping down from the higher realms, they would attempt, this is hard to visualize, I'm trying to make it simple, but you know, we're not dealing with human consciousness here and the way humans work. We're dealing with gods, so to speak, but gods that are controlling gods, not free will gods, lower level gods, that would attempt to co-opt sections of the universe under their control patterns so that they could be the god of that particular section of the universe. And so this all steps down through all the sacred geometries, and there were large sections of the universe that were co-opted. And when Daphne was talking about the organic and the inorganic universe, I believe that that's what she was talking about, the co-opting of the universe and the control mechanisms, and even using computers and organic computers. I mean, I don't understand it. We've touched on it in different sessions. And so we end up here on Earth at the bottom level of the whole continuum. And if you heard Philip Dick and that extraordinary thing I read last week on how he never used the word starseed, but he talked about how beings from the higher realms came and took incarnations, knowing they would forget why they were here, but that was the only hope for bringing the universe home again, to be able to tie the lower realm back to the higher realm and bypass all the control patterns. And so, sounds like science fiction, I know. But if you look at what we're doing, and if you look at what we're doing on the grid healings, that's us and others like us that are realizing the power
you have as a human to be here in your small body and move through all the dimensions, through all the control patterns. You don't have to fight them. You move through them. You don't be obstructed. Like water, you flow around them back to source and be a liaison to bring the energy, to link the energy from source back to here. And, of course, the goal is to create, to stop the disillusion of the universe. And that is why there are so many indigo children, crystal children, star children, so many of the younger people who, even when they don't understand all of this, they have great energy and great cooperation. And they built the computer industry. And they built the tools to allow us to be able to communicate with each other without needing huge advertising budgets. And we are like the little tiny modules at the base here. You know, what did the Elohim say on Sunday? It was quite extraordinary. They said, you are creating the seeds. Terry, do you remember what they said? They said, we're creating the seeds for a new society. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember that.
And it was quite extraordinary what they said. And it's hard for me to believe that. But yet, when I look at this and I look at how unusual it is and how all of you, so many of you are getting it, okay? You're not followers. You're getting it. You're internalizing it. You're living it. And your vibrations are changing. And you're seeing your synapses are making the connections. And you're becoming the volunteers here to actually make this happen, which is, I would speculate, it's why you originally took bodies in this realm. Does that sound crazy? Daphne?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I think it actually makes a lot of sense.
You know what? We have 7 minutes left, and maybe I let our sources make a comment about this whole topic. Okay, since we brought it up, Terry, you want to do it?
I could do it.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line and anyone listening to the replays, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and released, transmuted, dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Now, right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite our sources to join us and make any comments about this idea we've been discussing. Do we have it kind of right?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We're with you this Monday, the 14th of January, 2013. And we do see that you are bringing in the seeds of a new reality, the seeds of bringing in the knowledge that you are more than your body. You are in the third density, but you are not of the third density. You have qualities that you have brought with you, that you do not even dream that you possess. You have the ability to move, to operate independent of the body with your own natural abilities that you have brought with you and are a part and parcel of you, as you can operate out of your life body and you can sense, you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can smell. Independent of your body, you do not need your body to take advantage of those qualities that are inherent within you. You are bringing a new dawn. You are bringing a new tomorrow. You are bringing a tomorrow of harmony and of a higher vibration. You are learning to connect with vibrations that are inherent within you. And you are bringing with you also what you are learning in the third density. You are learning to harmonize. You are learning what it is like to bring the golden thread of love into the third density and to expand it and to experience it and to bring yourself into the third density, which allows a richer experience. We love you and we are excited for you. We feel your presence. We know the vibrancy of which you are, the love of which you are. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was a beautiful close for this session and a beautiful acknowledgement for all of you who are hanging in with this work. And we're going to end this session right now, but we may have Carla coming in to do her special thing at the end. You're going to miss it if you're on the internet, but if you come in on phone lines, you'll get it. So on that note, we will unmute everybody
for acknowledgement.
I couldn't get on the internet again tonight.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Well,
Is the dryer working okay?
The internet didn't work. I had to use the phone.
I finally got in.
Did someone else get in on the internet?
I couldn't either.
I hope I didn't give the wrong... I have to check. Maybe my link was wrong. One week it was wrong, and maybe I didn't fix it. I'm sorry if that's the case.
That's okay, but it was very hard to hear you also for the first hour. It's really strange.
This is Carla. How about hearing me?
Hi, Carla.
You're nice and clear.
You're nice and clear, Carla.
Hi, Carla, from the Two Morgans in California.
Hello there.
How are you doing? I would like to ask you a personal question, may I?
No.
I don't know. When
I
don't want to let the radio program get away from when. It's his, you know.
Listen, I don't mind asking personal questions, but we have a special agenda. And we only have half an hour to do this. And this is very special. And I think we should focus on that. What do you think, Carla?
Yes.
Okay. So excuse me for cutting you off with a personal question. and maybe some other time, we'll all get on the call. If Carla has the energy, and we'll all just answer personal questions or questions, not channeled questions. And what we've been doing is, at the end of the calls, I learned, and I didn't know this till about a few months ago, that Carla made a liaison with an angelic being by the name of Rosie. And she told the story last week. This has been going on for years and years and years. And apparently, there are a bunch of beings that are on the other side. They're not at the high levels of the Elohim or Ra group. They're lower beings, and they want to be of service. And they have the ability to connect with you and kind of be an inner companion. Am I saying that right, Carla?
Right. They want to make you feel loved, and they want to make you feel safe. And the reason they can do that is that they are part of spirit. They're on the, as you say, the other side, time and space instead of space-time. And so everything's very clear to them. And go ahead.
Are you doing all right? Just, you know, we do have a show, brand new show starting in 30 seconds.
We actually are just on. Thank you, Don.
Go ahead and sign off.
Actually, you could have signed off 4 minutes ago because this is happening just on the phone line. Okay? I said goodbye. So,
thank you.
I'll try to work it out.
Hear your voice. God bless you.
So we can notify when we're going to sign off.